It's hard out there, isn't it? It's tough. Freddie Mercury was not lying. Welcome to my podcast, Tater Thoughts. You're listening to Charlie Tate. And today, I'm talking about another Queen deep dive. And this is actually Freddie Mercury's first contribution to this album, Queen's 11th album, The Works, released in 1984. This song has always been dramatic. It's always been affecting, but it hasn't always been something that I really loved, greatly admired, and deeply appreciated. To say that I enjoyed it, yes, that would be accurate. Thought it was a brilliant composition, but the brilliance of it, I think, eluded me. And here I am, diving deeper into this album. And this song, as I've listened to it again and again and again, after I've already heard it again and again, previously, of course, this song has captured me, I think. And it's a tough one, but it's also lined with a bit of silver. Just a hint of optimism. Positivity. The glass is still slightly full. Thank you, Freddie. This is, of course, It's a Hard Life. Dive number 122, track 3 on The Works. Written, of course, by our wonderful favorite frontman, Freddie Marvelous Mercury, darling, and Ruggiero Leoncavallo. Specifically the intro. I love saying that name. Italian. Everything Italian. If that had been an option, I would have taken Italian in school. Instead, I took German. Anyway. And I don't remember much. I don't remember very much at all. I think I can still count to 30. But let's get back into It's a Hard Life. This is hard. A hard rock ballad, glam rock even. We are calling back to earlier days of Queen with this composition and its style. And I think many people were relieved to hear this. This was a single released July 6th of 84 in the US, July 16th of 84 in the UK. It was number 72 in the US, number 6 in the UK. And there is a reason this fell so low on the US charts. But I don't want to get into the specifics just yet because we haven't got to that track yet. Believe it or not, it is a track we have not spoken of on The Works that was released as a single before this was, that I think had a massive impact on this single's performance. And we will talk about that in depth quite a bit. But this is a grand expression of wanting and longing tenderness from Freddie. We're at 82 BPM. It's very slow. Time signature, 4/4. And we're in a little variation of keys, yes. Back in the day, of course, we had Freddie Mercury going into all different kinds of territories with key signatures. Usually in one composition. Here, we have a little bit of that. There's an allusion to G minor, B flat major, E flat major, and just a hint of C minor. It's wonderful to go to these places, to venture to these musical avenues with Freddie. And of course, it's a hard life. It's better to have loved and lost. You guys know the rest, right? Or is it? Is it? According to Freddie, despite the struggle here, despite the ongoing obsession and the loss, perhaps it is still better to have loved, even for just that moment. Dramatic, tender, impactful, powerful. Freddie's very first contribution to The Works is the perfect balance of expressive ballad and power chord atmosphere. Like other sweeping romantic numbers before it, Life is Real, You Take My Breath Away. Freddie reveals his heart. No shortage of passion here. The return of all Queen, no synths, is here as each band member indulges in expressive performances on their instruments and through their voices. This is very much like before. Flashes of it. Maybe not so dramatic and obvious, but still, the surrounding choral harmonies, the impactful drums, the gritty guitar, soulful, a little bit bluesy in moments, classically inspired, it's here. This opens in operatic fashion and carries that weight and intensity through its softer verses and affecting chorus, never lacking intention. Everything about this is lyrical and buttery. John's delicate nuances on bass, like a ballet of lower frequencies. Brian's glittery, resonant guitars, strummed softly one moment and bursting loudly the next. Roger's dynamic, magical drumming, restrained when it's necessary and appropriately flashy in its crescendos. Cymbals aplenty, one of my favorites. And Freddie, our composer, performs one of his most satisfying piano arrangements. Seriously, just sit back and listen to his piano. And leads the way with vocals you can feel. He sounds so dynamic, natural, authentic, almost magnanimous, but torn. Backing vocals from all three Queen vocalists create that robust wall of sound that echoes much earlier numbers that we miss, and it's a welcome return to something dramatic and electrifying, all done without synths. It's a hard life. Freddie has a way of capturing something authentically, capturing an attitude, an emotion. And we've had a lot of attitude from him, especially recently on the last several albums. We've had a lot. Hot space, no shortage. The Game even. No lacking in that attitude. But we do have moments, we have had moments of more restrained, natural sounding ballad Freddie. I think here though, in It's a Hard Life, is a moment that shines brighter than all of those recent slower ballads, despite how revealing they were, how honest they were. This is another honesty moment. This is another confession from Freddie. It's a very personal song. And we'll talk about that in depth as we go into fun facts about this, as well as quotes from the boys. I have something from everyone on this song, I think. But first, let's talk about performances of this song. It was played 44 times in 84 and 85. And here's the thing. I'm torn about this live. The passion is there, absolutely. The boys are in it. Brian's solo is really something. Freddie's piano complements it so well in that instrumental break. Freddie's conviction is real and raw and commanding. John's bass is perfection, and Roger's drumming creates that powerful atmosphere. It's nice to hear the guys harmonize in the chorus. But, I don't like the synths live at all. Maybe it's not the synth, but the sound they chose to play on the synth. Maybe something warmer, less treble heavy, maybe would have been better. I don't know. I just know I don't like it. It takes me out of the song from the moment it appears after Freddie's dramatic operatic intro. I know why they used it. I just feel it betrays the integrity of the composition. Live in Rio, Freddie seemed to struggle a lot vocally, and you can't fault him, whether it was a rough night or he just had an off moment. Hey, it happens. Live in Tokyo was an improvement vocally. Absolutely. But all of the vocal concerns aside, in whatever performance we're talking about, the stage presence of this man, Freddie, is always stunning, overwhelming. All of them, especially at this point, so in sync and subconsciously one being. It's amazing. Never out of touch. I just wish I liked this live more. It's a rare moment where the album version shines brighter, especially with its layered harmonies. I think that's what's missing for me most. I wish this live production had more vocals, but that's impossible. Unless the boys wanted to bring out a backing track of vocals, which would betray their performance strategy. Live in Brussels in 84, though, is quite nice. Freddie's vocals are in better shape, having much of the same impact as the album. He even hits that final note on the tonic, full chest voice, beautiful. Again, though, this loses a little something for me live. Yeah, the boys bring some variation, which is always welcome. That there's something about the live performances that's always just so different. And a lot of it has to do with those subtle shifts in riffs and notes that we get from every single performer. Freddie included. We're not just talking instrumental performance or Freddie on the piano. We're talking about vocals as well. There's always a little something to surprise, but for some reason, it's a hard life. I have a hard time with this live, and maybe I need to find the right performance of it to really, really latch onto this live. Like I said, Brussels in 84 was quite good because Freddie's vocals sound much fresher, more vibrant, and he hits a lot more of those notes more impactfully. I do have quite a bit of fun facts about It's a Hard Life. This song's lyrics and melodies in the intro echo Vesti la Giuba from 1892, is an aria from Leon Cavallo's Pagliacci, and also the same melody quoted in the soundtrack of the Marx Brothers film A Night at the Opera. Did you know that? Nice little tie-in to a number that we all know and love. And speaking of that number, the song incorporates bow rap-like elements of Freddie's piano playing, as well as a similar structure to Play the Game in its grand, expressive arrangement. In a drastic and fitting move, the boys abandon synthesizers entirely in favor of their classic Queen sound, much to many fans' delight. Freddie wrote the song from a very genuine place of concern and heartbreak, navigating relationship struggles. But the video, made by Tim Pope in Munich and entirely Freddie's concept, is ironic, showcasing a man who has a lavish life and everything he could ever dream of except love, mirroring Freddie's own life of glamour and wealth that still felt incomplete. And the video sees our boys and many extras, including album producer Mack's own wife, Ingrid Mack, dressed in traditional operatic garb, heavy brocade and makeup, with Brian holding and playing a Skull and Bones custom guitar, Death's Head guitar, as Brian called it, made for £1,000 as a prop. Freddie appears in a red feathered outfit with eyes lining the front, which the boys referred to as a giant prawn. The elaborate costumes and stage design were a source of major contention, especially for Roger and John. Brian's opinion of the video has changed over the years, and he now finds it visually represents the song's story very well. Despite video sentiment, Brian and Roger cite this as one of their favorite Freddie compositions, period. This song was voted 19th in a poll, the nation's favorite Queen song, broadcast on ITV on the 11th of November in 2014. There is an amended version of this single's cover, which features a softer, less grumpy Roger, and Freddie's hair is less of a mess. It looks like it was filled in on the top. And I want to talk about this because I had finished all of my research for this song. At least I thought I did. And I was checking one last thing. And I just happened to look up the covers of this single release. And I noticed there was something that stuck out. Roger didn't look the same. And I looked at his face and I was like, first of all, his head looks bigger and I find it looks terribly out of proportion, if you ask me. I don't know who was doing what. It does not work. And yes, his face looks fine, but it's not in proportion with his body or anyone else's. His face is softer. If you look at the other release of singles, He has that glare in his eye, which is, of course, because he hated how he, and I think they all looked, and we'll talk about his comments in a minute here. But anyway, I didn't realize that until I just happened to see this photo, and I was like, that doesn't look the same. You know, one of these things is not like the others. I just thought that is an oddball of a cover. So yes, go look it up. Go look up the cover of It's a Hard Life from Queen. And I think you'll stumble across both versions of this cover and you will see what I'm talking about. Somebody thought, oh, we need to soften this up. All right, band critique. I have a lot. And yes, I do believe there's a little bit from every Queen here. And I think I tried to do this. I think I tried to do it in chronological order and maybe I failed. But here we go. Brian in Star Licks in 85, quote, "We were doing something which we were conscious was very Bohemian Rhapsody-esque. And Freddie wanted me to do this little tail off back into the vocals. And I did something which kind of blends in, but the thing I would have liked to have done would have got in the way of the vocals," unquote. Brian, I wonder what that was. What would you have liked to have done, dear Brian? And Brian again, who said in the commentary of the Greatest Hits 2 DVD, quote, "To my mind, this is one of the most beautiful songs that Freddie ever wrote. It's straight from the heart, and he really opened up during the creation of it. I sat with him for hours and hours, just poring over every word and trying to get the most out of it. It's a very revealing thing about how relationships are, whatever kind of relationship it is. So to me, it's one of his loveliest songs. And on the face of it, I think I was mortified that he wanted to make this kind of video because it's totally distracting, obviously. In Freddie's mind, it's, I'm not going to say a joke, but it's an ironical take. It's a joke within a joke," unquote. And yes, Brian is alluding to Freddie acting as this man who has all he could ever want: the food, the costumes, the glamour, the people, the company, and yet he's still miserable. And so the joke is that it's not really a joke, that Freddie had those moments himself. Lots of wealth, lots of things, opportunity, and yet he was still lonely a lot of the time. Roger had an even harsher critique of the video, also commenting on Greatest Hits 2 DVD, quote, this is the very first thing he said about this. Just listen. "I think we look more stupid in this video than any other artist has ever looked in a video. I actually love the record, but I really do hate this video," unquote. "We look more stupid." Oh, Roger, always telling it like it is, doesn't hold back. Love this man. In fact, he and Brian both groaned as this video started playing while they were commenting on that Greatest Hits 2 DVD. They both went, oh, don't even get us started, I think is what Brian said. And here's a comment from John in Melody Maker in 84. Quote, "I don't much like the It's a Hard Life video. For me, that's too contrived, too dressed up," unquote. And Roger again tacked on that he tried to get most of his scenes out of that one. During an interview for The Works, Freddie commented on this song's video. Quote, "Basically, in terms of video now, I like to have fun in them. If you do that, it comes across and people can relate to that," unquote. Freddie again in another promotional interview about the song. Quote, "I'm a true romantic. I like romantic songs. I've always written those. I think I'll always write them. That doesn't mean I'll only write those kind of songs. I like to write all kinds of different songs. But the romantic types will always be there," unquote. And I think I paraphrased that a little bit. But you get the point. John, yes, another quote from John in another interview for The Works. Quote, "It was silly and it was weird things to do, really, but you have to try something different. And Freddie had some strong ideas. And in the absence of any other ideas, you go with it. And some of them work very well," unquote. Lastly, Brian again, in a 2022 talk with Music Radar, in which he talked various guitars he played over the years. Quote, I look back at the video more fondly from distance. Time mellows everything. Freddie had a good scheme for it. The irony of having a hard life when you're surrounded by luxury, which is what people think happens with rock stars. So it was a humorous take on It's a Hard Life. So you can see most of my quotes there are, of course, about the video. But obviously, it is certainly a stunning video and perhaps surprising. I think now people look at it entirely different than they did back then. But of course, Queen always went over the top. They never held back on anything. And I think that's what John was alluding to, that sometimes when you don't have any other ideas, you take it and run with what you do have. And perhaps in a way, because this was Freddie's song, it was his vision, it actually did work out, despite the fact that John and Roger are both very unhappy in the video. You can see it visually, as well as on the cover, I might add. And even Brian actually has a moment where he's almost acting. In fact, I think I recall Roger saying that Brian is almost acting in this moment. And I thought, is that a dig or a compliment? Maybe a little bit of both. But it is a very dramatic operatic video. And actually, it reminds me a lot of Annie Lennox walking on broken glass, if you've seen that video. What a great one that is. It, same kind of thing. A period video, very dramatic. It's all about love. It's all about angst and love and wanting and desire and loss and all of those very powerful emotions. I have nothing bad to say about this from anyone. Nada. Thank goodness, too, because honestly, this really truly is one of those great compositions from Freddie. I think it's right up there with some of the other ballads that I really adore. This has some more drama to it, of course, because it's a little bit louder and forthcoming in these bursts of moments. But you know what? There's not a lot on the praise front either. There really isn't a lot written or said about this song, even though it was a single, which I find somewhat surprising. Not one contemporary review for the works says anything about this song, good or bad, but fans connect with and appreciate it, loving its passion and conviction and Freddie's enthusiastic vocal performance. It gets a lot of love. And why wouldn't it? Piano, bass, voices, C minor seventh chord. And Freddie bursting out the gates. I don't want my freedom. Surprising to hear this admission from our frontman. I don't want my freedom. But his expression, desperate, pleading, bargaining. There's no reason for living with a broken heart. D seventh chord, seventh chords. The soaring break in Freddie's emotion as he flies into that falsetto in that phrase, and in a moment transitions into a softer, reflective tone. And you haven't just heard that progression of chords in that one song, Pagliacci. I guarantee you, you've heard it elsewhere. That chord progression is very recognizable. And there is actually a song that has been in my head for days now, you guys. And I cannot for the life of me pinpoint what it is, but I can hear that chord progression. Da 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 da. And it's not the original composition, it's something else. You watch. Later tonight, when I'm lying down to bed at like 11 o'clock, right before I doze off, it's going to hit me like a bolt of lightning, and then I will forget again. So I promise you, if I remember what it is, I will come back, and I will say it, because I'm going to write it down. Here's hoping I remember it. Anyway, back to It's a Hard Life. This transition of that phrase, there's no reason for living with a broken heart. We get every kind of stylistic performance from this man vocally. Just those two passages in this intro give us virtually every vocalization Freddie ever sings, starting with gritty, full chest voice, operatically inspired falsettos, and into a reserved, natural voice. Well done, Freddie. Fantastic. The seventh chords during this intro, another level of theatrical, even in Queen world. The opening ahs and the oohs suck us into the drama, all wrapped around the sustained bass and piano strikes. But these piano arpeggios, Roger's swelling cymbal as we settle in, the delicate guitar, the boys are back in no synth zone. And the moment John strikes that rolling tonic, we know we're going somewhere. This is a tricky situation. I've only got myself to blame. Immediately, it's not just Freddie's words that pull us in. It's the chords, the sadness, the loss they evoke. And after he sings Situation, it reminds of Bo Rap. Just killed a man. Da, na, na, da, da. That little transition is in there. It's right here. The similarities are almost a comfort, that echo of something previous. Still gorgeously done here with a variation on the melody. It can happen to anyone. That D half diminished B flat. First of all, Freddie once again affecting with his touching performance. And John is all over this bass line, bouncing from one tonic to the next and surprising moves within the scale. You never expect that on bass. You win, you lose, that key change there. Roger joins with a little flit into the phrase, but he's not over the top. No, this is restrained, just like Brian. Present, but part of the warmth and the magic of this piece. Roger's gentle pings on percussion create this crystal airiness that glistens. Now you say it's over and I'm falling apart. Freddie's voice is flawless. This is easily one of my favorite vocal performances from him. It feels as though it's been an age since we got this kind of tenderness from him, with so much purity in voice. And Brian growls in with emphasis on that flatted seventh falling down the scale. Roger's flashy cymbals, Freddie's classically inspired piano as it rises. John wisely lingers on those notes he plays, allowing the rest to shine. These boys and their balance, so lovely. It's a hard life to be true lovers together. Truer words were never spoken or sang, and this chorus is remarkably restrained, but still holds this intention and heaviness as Freddie reveals himself. To love and live forever in each other's hearts. This rise in chromatic arrangement, do, 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 the push, the anticipation, the intensity. And Brian roars in louder and assertive, like softened power chords, just bursting at the seams. To trust in one another right from the start. This chorus, as it ends, feels as though it shouldn't, and that's the point. As though Freddie can't figure it out, and if he's still seeking and wondering how he'll recover from his loss and how he'll make it going forward. A resolution and that brilliant chord shift as we tiptoe into the next verse. D flat, E flat, major seventh. Isn't this like play the game? We expect when you're feeling down and your resistance is low. It's a different key, but the atmosphere, there it is. I try and mend the broken pieces. I try and fight back the tears. Beyond these gorgeous, sensitive words, which I never paid enough attention to previously, Freddie's backing ooze, ooze, just like that. And the rising falsetto again, doo-doo-doo. Such a touching moment, a charming, tender one. The piano and what Freddie is doing here. How it hurts deep inside when your love has cut you down to size. What a horribly accurate way of expressing that emotion. And very unique. I don't think I've heard that line in any other song. When your love has cut you down to size. Yeah, we've heard things like it. We've heard things expressed just like it, but not like that. John, your bass. Roger offers little rolls and fills. Life is tough on your own, indeed. And if you thought the first transition into the chorus was great, I'm waiting for love. That riff. Freddie, you're gorgeous. And the mirrored octave strikes on the piano, the rising guitar that flutters, the backing vocals that swoop in and rise higher. It's a hard life. Here we are again. Freddie sounds more and more convinced that it's a long, hard fight. This chorus gets the best of us, doesn't it? And sighing into the transition, John's bass again keeps stealing my attention here. All classical, minor key on piano. The boys all appear. Brian chiming in softly at first and then insistent on guitar. The vocals, the layered guitars, on the right, the left, back and forth, flying in triplets, unifying in the center. Da-na-na, da-na-na. So much happening vocally around us. Ooh, ah, in perfect choral harmonies. All the while, Freddie simply stuns on piano here. He and Brian dancing together instrumentally. Very reminiscent of soulful guitar solos we've heard previously. And with the resolve of this solo, Brian flawlessly executes a run that contrasts against those bright, striking piano chords. And Freddie arrives. Yeah! In a world that's filled with sorrow, there are people searching for love in every way. What a beautiful, beautifully done phrase. Brian's guitar throughout this last chorus is like a smooth, rich hum of chords that surrounds and warms, awakens the melody. I'll look back on myself and say I did it for love. Yes, I did it for love. This moment, first, this is our hopelessly romantic Freddie, and it's wonderful. Second, the rising insistence of these loud, layered harmonies. For love. Oh, I did it for love. Freddie's high note is striking, piercing, perfect. But listen to the love vocals around him, how they swoon and swing, glissandos. They kind of sigh at the end. I only recently captured that in the left side. What a fabulous resolution. And the weight of the guitars and the bass, everything falls into place. Glittery cymbals and percussion, arpeggios on piano, sustained, a wink of a note. Dun, dun, and it's gone. That's it. Beautifully done piece. A wonderful thing to sing. I would say a fantastic warm-up piece if you're looking for something that's very dynamic and you want to dig in and get a little bit more passionate with your performance and you love to sing Queen and you love to sing Freddie in Queen, go for it with It's a Hard Life. This really is a song that has latched on to me. I can't say I didn't. It's not that I didn't like it before. No. Absolutely not. But something about it now that I've really taken it in and I've listened to every single piece of it, all of the elements that make the whole better than the sum of the parts, as we've always said with Queen, when you put it all together and you listen to the choral vocals, those harmonies that are so big and loud and surround us everywhere, it's magnificent. This song. And I think it deserves more attention. It certainly gets a lot of love. Yes, people like It's a Hard Life. Every once in a while, people will say something about it, but I really don't. It's not brought up enough. I think It's a Hard Life deserves a lot more love than it gets even now. And I have to assume, given their comments, that Brian and Roger would agree with me. This is one of Freddie's best compositions when you consider that piano. The vocal performance from this man, this lead vocal performance. Every time I hear it in my head, I get chills. I try and mend the broken pieces. It's so brooding and he comes, these crescendos. I'm telling you, the dynamics. He goes from pianissimo to this fortissimo and it's just grand and elegant. And I think that's the best way to describe this is tender elegance, this song. It really does throw back to those moments in Play the Game. Everybody play the game of love. Ooh, yeah. Wow, I can't pick a key. Usually I have it. Wow. See, now I got to find it. When you're feeling down. I think that's it. And your resistance is low. That is a tough song to sing. And I think I mentioned that last time when I talked about it. But you get the point. Play the game. Bohemian Rhapsody. There are so many elements of Freddie from yesteryear that we get here. And it's just fantastic. It really is striking the similarities between Play the Game and It's a Hard Life. This is your life. It's a hard life. All about play the game of love. Yes, I did it for love. I try and mend the broken pieces. There's so many similar themes between these two songs, continuing that story. And it's a brilliant move by Freddie to have that holistic expression coming from him. Go back and listen to It's a Hard Life. And yeah, check it out live. I simply don't know what it is about this. Aside from the synthesizers that I don't like, yeah, I just feel like given the no synth approach on the song on the album, they really should have stuck with that live. Because let's face it, these guys had all the energy in the world to bring it live with just the four of them. No more accompaniment needed. But of course, they brought in the synths. And it just distracts me. And I don't like it. And I want to hear it live without it. If there was a moment, if there is a moment somewhere where there's a recording of this without a synthesizer in it and it's live, send it to me. I would love to hear it. All right. Anyway, guys, that is it. It's a hard life. And yes, it can be a world filled with sorrow and tears and trying and a lack of trust. But we always hope for the best, don't we? We still keep looking up, and Freddie certainly does. I'll look back on myself and say, I did it for love. Yes, I did it for love. For love. Whoa, for love. Thank you, Freddie, for that emphasis. We miss you. All right, guys, check it out. It's a hard life. I'll be back next time. I think I might talk about something else. I believe this is my fourth episode in a row. That was Queen. So I'm on a roll. What can I say? I'm starting to dig the songs on this album more and more as we go through their 11th, The Works. But I'll be back next time. Keep yourselves alive and take care.